Welcome. My talk today is called Fertile Ground. And recently I read a book by Matthew Evans called Soil, The Incredible Story of What Keeps the Earth and Us Healthy. And so, as probably most of you, all of you know, Matthew Evans is from the Gourmet Farmer, the series on SBS. And he used to be a restaurant critic and then moved to Tasmania to take up farming and growing his own food for good quality food. And, done the TV series and this restaurant. But he actually also has a degree in science. And so he's been very interested in working with the soil, improving the soil for many years, but also has that scientific background to look at the research and to explain it, because a lot of the research on soil is very complex. And I've been interested in gardening for many years, and last 8 years I've had my own garden, and doesn't have really very good quality soil, so I've been looking at organic methods of improving the soil. So I already had some understanding of the importance of soil and the complexity of what's in the soil and the interconnectedness. But I actually found that book quite mind-blowing. The sheer complexity of what actually happens underneath the earth, and that very close interrelationship between animals and plants and microorganisms and fungi. And there's actually not always very clear where the plant stops and where the soil starts, because they're actually so interconnected, the different organisms and things. So yeah, I found it a really fascinating book. But as Matthew Evans says in his book, soil does have an image problem, so it's not very exciting. We don't really know what happens underneath. It seems quite boring. It's just there, and it's actually hard to tell whether it's good soil or bad soil unless you're trying to grow something in it. And it certainly doesn't have the wow factor like a distant galaxy or cute baby animals or even orchids or some spectacular red cedar tree and things like that. But as we know, it's fundamental to life. If we don't have soil, then we can't live, we can't eat. We can't survive, and there's definitely a huge issue about the degradation of soil and also soil erosion, and we're losing a lot of our good quality topsoil, which takes millions of years to create at a pretty rapid pace. But I was thinking in terms of meditation practice that sometimes we think about the outcomes of meditation practice. So we do meditation for a while and then this will happen in our lives and that will happen. And it's almost like we focus on the plants that we might see rather than actually the soil. And I thought it's a good way to think about meditation practice is actually it's what we're doing is improving the soil. And then sometimes something might emerge from that, but the true practice is actually happening at that lower or at that level that's actually more invisible. And the Pali word for meditation is bhavana, which actually means to cultivate. So that's a really nice way of thinking about what meditation practice can be, a sense of cultivating. So as you probably all know, there's been a lot of research in recent years about meditation, in particular mindfulness. Thousands and thousands of studies to show the benefits of mindfulness. And that can be helpful, so more people are taking up meditation practice because of that scientific backing. But it can also be, sort of having that sense of what is meditation. It's meant to be just being, but then we focus on the outcome. So it's almost sort of getting that mindset of just wanting and striving all the time, which meditation is meant to be an antidote to, but we kind of get into that mindset of wanting things out of meditation. And so sometimes the language can be very utilitarian. So meditation, mindfulness is seen like a tool, we've got this toolkit of things we can offer to our clients, and mindfulness is one of the tools. And that's true, in a way that's true, but it's almost like it becomes like a hammer or like an object, you know, rather than a process or a way of being. So being really outcome focused can actually take away from what meditation practice might be able to offer us. And it's not just science that does it. There's also some Buddhist traditions where there's talk, you know, if someone is a very adept meditator, they can be in two places at the same time, and they can be psychic and clairvoyant and, you know, have all these sort of extraordinary abilities. So again, it's, there can be this emphasis on really extraordinary things happening through meditation. So one of the things I like about Zen practice in the way that we sort of practice it is that there's a sense of getting away from being outcome focused and just coming back to the basic practice, just coming back to sitting with how life is right at this moment. That's it. You know, very simple. Of course, it's not simple to do, but that's basic idea of, and of course, we don't always succeed either. We all have that sense of wanting to achieve something. You know, we're not like a perfect embodiment of that idea, but I think something that I find that I get from Zen practice is just keep bringing myself back to just sitting and just doing that basic work rather than expecting big outcomes. I was thinking about the outcome focus and what we can see and what attracts our attention. And of course, in a social media age, that's even more so, that we're sort of very drawn to things that sort of capture us and delight us and sort of get our attention. And recently there was this story of a woman, a middle-aged woman, Marie, and she was sitting just quietly having a coffee in the shopping center. And this young man came up to her and gave her a bunch of flowers. But of course it was filmed for TikTok. And so this video quickly went viral. And the woman, you know, she thought, oh, I didn't actually really want the flowers and didn't really want to carry them home, but she sort of dutifully carried them home and, you know, cut them at the angle that mother had taught her and put in a vase. And she didn't realize that this whole thing had become a media viral, and, you know, millions of people had watched this, and then she became aware of it. And then she was really angry, and she said, you know, she sort of fought back. So, she, you know, that became viral as well, her fighting back on it, and said, you know, just because I'm sitting there by myself having a cup of coffee doesn't mean I'm lonely or in need of someone else's, you know, bunch of flowers, which is only there performative anyway. It's almost like they're not there as an act of kindness. It's just them trying to be this performative, being kind. And then all these women over 30 said, you know, yeah, this doesn't mean, you know, we're not there to be pitied and to have young people give us flowers just because for their own self-centered wanting to be seen as kind and things like that. So it was kind of an interesting thing, but I almost thought it becomes like a current. So if you do an act of kindness but you're not filming it, is it actually real? And in the social media age, it's not. It doesn't actually exist. It's only there to be filmed. So, yeah, so that can be the sort of thing. So when we come back to the second noble truth of the four noble truths in Buddhism, so the second noble truth is that our suffering is caused by greed, hatred, and ignorance. Or we can also talk about grasping, aversion, and apathy. That sense of wanting to grasp something from our practice, I think that's quite a strong sense that can be there, and it's quite powerful, you know, that sense that we can tell ourselves, I'm just here to meditate, but that sense of wanting something more from it can be quite a powerful motivating factor. So I think it's just good to be aware of that, that how we look at our meditation practice. And whether we do it really overtly, like, you know, I'm meditating, I'm putting on TikTok and getting lots of likes, or whether it's a bit more subtle than that, there can still be this grasping quality to our meditation. So our school is called Ordinary Mind, and Joko Beck has written three books now, but one is called Ordinary Mind and the other one's called Everyday Zen, and this one's called Nothing Special. And so the name of the school and the name of Joko's books sort of give us a clear sense of where she thought the priorities should lie. And so I've just got a quote here by Joko. In ordinary thinking, the mind always has an objective, something it's going to get. If we're caught up in that wanting, then our awareness of reality is gone. We've substituted a personal dream for awareness. Awareness doesn't move, doesn't bury itself in dreams, it just stays as it is. At first, the distinction between ordinary thinking and awareness seems subtle and elusive. As we practice, however, the distinction gradually becomes clearer. We begin to notice more and more how our thoughts are occupied with trying to get somewhere and how we become caught up in them, so that we fail to notice what's really present in our lives. And that reminds me also of one of my favorite quotes by Thich Nhat Hanh. He says, "The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth, dwelling deeply in the present moment and feeling truly alive." And so what we can do with our practice is cultivate our inner soil. And most of that's hidden. No one actually knows what's happening. But year in, year out, we're cultivating the soil, adding more organic matter, having a greater interconnection, so underneath the soil is this greater sense of vitality, different organisms working together, supporting each other. And then when the seeds of life are thrown into the soil and then can flourish, and so our inner self, this can be the sense that our inner self is healthier, we're less likely to be attacked by pests. But of course, you know, there'll still be dry periods and drought and floods and things like that. So even the best cultivation of soil we do, there will still be the ups and downs in our life. We're not immune from that. But just by cultivating the inner soil in our practice, we can slowly strengthen ourselves and strengthen our internal resources to be responsive to all the different aspects of life.